Well, that's part of what we have over here.
Okay, so we're holding on Nun Omar Aleph, 9 lines from the bottom. Okay, we left off as follows. We're trying to figure out one of these 16 possibilities we have is if you learn something with Xeta Shavuot, can you go and relearn something else from over the Xeta Shavuot? Okay. So if you learn something with Xeta Shavuot, you're able to learn something else from the second thing with Xeta Shavuot.
Right.
Okay. So we said Rami Bachoma tried to bring a proof from the case over there where you have the various kinds of chalos and matzahs and whatnot that you bring with a korban toda, where we said that you learn Xeta Shavuot from one to the other, and then from another to another, about that they all have to be, that they all have to be service. They all have to be out of fine flowers, and they're only meant to dash by one of them. We can. However, Rava said, Ravina asked, the fact is, we have another place where we can learn that second Xeta Shavuot for, where therefore you don't need a Xeta Shavuot from a Xeta Shavuot. You have two places, you have two different things, two separate independent Xeta Shavuots that can teach us that each of these things needs to be service. So therefore, you don't have a perfect proof from that. So Ella Omar.
You don't have a proof to the contrary also.
Fine, but we still need to see if we can find a proof. We have to try to prove it. Right. Okay. If you can't prove it, then it would mean it's a suffix. It would mean it's less of a suffix. That's what we had before. We had before in the case of learning with a hekesh and then learning with a binyan av, we left it up in the air because we couldn't resolve it one way. Obviously, I said that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, Ella Omar Rava said, Rava says, no, here, I'll bring your proof as follows. Tanya, we learn a brasa. Now, when the Pasuk says, again, about the various Purim and Seirim and Yitzrotim, the one about the power of Kohen Mashiach and the power of Helam Davashal Sibur, and so forth, the Pasuk says, the Kubei Upirshoi Vahodin. The Pasuk says that you have to take out the complete body of the animal. All that's missing from it at that point is the blood and the blood which is sprinkled in the various places it's supposed to be sprinkled, and the emurim which are burnt on the mizbeach, and the rest of it you take out, the kibroy or pusha, you take it out together with gut, together with peresh, with the waste that's inside its gut, the hosi, and you take the whole thing out. Melamed says the braisa, from here we learn from a siya shalom, that you take it out whole, you don't first cut it up into pieces. Unlike a regular carbon, where you cut it up into pieces and then you take out the chaylev as you go along, here you keep the body of it complete. You take out the yeseret and kovet and shtei kloyes and the rest of those things that have to be burned on the mizbeach. But other than that, you leave it whole. Yahu is your friend of Shalom. So now, continues the Braisa, you would think maybe when it comes to burning it also, you burn it all as one piece. So no. Nemakan Rosho Krov, Nemal Alan Rosho Krov, you have here by the Purim and Yisrotim, it says you take it all out. It mentions that you take out the head, the feet, the whole body.
That's what I would learn.
Well, wait. Okay, so first of all, the first part of the Kirbir Pirsha Vahoti Yahoo Shemetia Shalom, the Rashi points out, because it can't mean that you cut it up, because then you can't say Vahoti implies that you have one taking out. If it was in pieces, it wouldn't all be as one thing. So therefore, it has to be whole. But when it comes to burning it, Nemakan Rosho Yokrov, here the Pasuk says, by the Parim and Tsirim and Yisrafim, it says, actually not Rosho Yokrov, it says Rosh and Krayim. About this changes the two, but whatever. The point is, it mentions you have to take out the head, the feet, and then it mentions the whole rest of the body. By a korban ola, the pasuk also says that the head and the feet have to be burnt on the mizbeach. Malahalon ideni tuach. Well, by an ola, we know that you cut it off. You don't cut it up first. You don't, after you sprinkle the blood and burn, you don't afterwards take the entire body of the korban and throw it all into the fire. You cut it up first and bring it up piece by piece. The same thing over here. When it comes to burning the power card in Mashiach, you have to cut it up first. So you carry it out of your Shalayim hole. But then, after Beit HaDesh, you cut it up, and then you burn it.
How can you compare an Ola to
Pankhana? Because we have a Gzeira Shava. You got to show your cross.
Are they two different?
Doesn't matter. A Gzeira Shava.
That's the whole.
Yeah, I mean, okay, you could all be... You could ask whether the Gzeira Shavuot is mufne, fine. But for one thing, both by the Ola and over here, it mentions that eventually the whole thing goes into the fire. So it doesn't need to necessarily mention the words Rosh and Krayim. So therefore, we have it available, and then once you have it, and that's it. Yeah. Okay. Well, then you should argue in that case, if you're going to compare the Parakai Mashiach to the Ola, then you should say that the same way as the Ola, the skin is stripped off first before it's cut out, the same thing over here also, you strip off the skin first, you cut it off, you strip the skin off, you cut it up, and then you burn it. No, Talmud Lamer, but Kirba your Pirshay. No, therefore the Pasuk says that you also burn its guts, inside, and its perish. The question is my Talmud, where do you see from that anything about the skin? Amar Papa. So Papa, this is just an interjection. This is before we continue with the Braisa, the proof that we're going to have a Zeta Shava on top of a Zeta Shava. So Amar Papa, the way we learn it is like this. Kishem Shapirshay, the Kirboi, the same way. When it comes to the Kerev and the Perish, what are you doing? You're obviously not taking out the Perish from the intestines, from the guts of the animal before you burn it. Because that would be a gnai stew. It would be a dava maguna, right, the last Rashi says. So, yeah. To take out the perish, to take out the waste, the partially digested food that's in the animal's stomach and in its intestines and whatever, and burn it separately, obviously you're not going to do that. Obviously the point is the Torah wants you to burn it while it's still inside the animal's stomach. Well then, kach v'sarai v'orai, the same way, since the Pasuk mentions the kirboi or pirshai, and it also mentions that orai and v'sarai, so we understand that it means that the same way as you burn the perish inside the kerev, the same way you burn the flesh, the basar, inside the ur, inside the skin, not stripping it off. Tosfos actually discusses the question, in that case, don't you have a problem, then you have a hekesh and a gzeir shava, as I said before, you can't do that. The answer is Tosfos says over here. Tosfos answer is not really a hekesh. It's gilui milta ba'alma. A hekesh would be something where you're taking the rule that applies to one thing and applying it to the other. Gilui milta ba'alma is more along the lines of you wouldn't even understand what it meant in the first place if it didn't clarify it with another statement. Here, by saying starei ba'orei clarifies, or the same saying pirshei b'kirbei clarifies what the starei ba'orei means. It's not a hekesh so much as a clarification. The definition of burning these things is you burn the thing inside its natural container, the perish inside the kerev and the basar inside of her. Okay. Now, so far then, that's one gzeira shava that we learned from the power from the oila to the power carrying mashiach that it's cut up before it's burned. V'tanya, then we learn in another price, the Rebbe Yomer, Nemar kan ur basar perish, here by the power coin God, all says that you have to burn these three things, V'nemar lahalan, the kan is by the power in the third of Yom Kippur, where also it says that Eroisam vet Sodom vet Kirsham, V'nemar lahalan ur basar perish, by the power coin Mashiach, it says the same thing, Ma lahalan I gain it too, Achshalai behefshit, so just like by the Karbonis of Yom Kippur, as we just established on the basis of the Zeta Shava from the Ola, that you don't strip off the skin, but you do cut them up. Afkan, I didn't you actually have the same thing with the power code Mashiach, the same thing. So there you have a Zeta Shava. There you have, you're learning a Zeta Shava from the Ola to the Karbonis of Yom Kippur, and then a Zeta Shava from the Karbonis of Yom Kippur to the power code Mashiach. So there you go. A Zeta Shava on top of a Zeta Shava. It were all within question, right? Okay. Next. Dabra Allah with Gzeira Shava, Mahushi Yavamid Bakava Chaimer. If you learned something with Gzeira Shava, can you turn around and learn something else from it with a Kava Chaimer? Well, the answer is, we'll answer that itself with a Kava Chaimer. I can answer that question itself with a Kava Chaimer. Uma Hekesh She'enim Alamid Behekesh, Madacha Hekesh, where you can't then go turn around and learn from it with another Hekesh. And we know that, as we said at the beginning of the story, Imidu Rava, Imidu Ravina. We learned it either on the basis of Rava's proof from Kasha Yuram, or Ravina's proof from the Hekesh over there between the Oshem and the Oila. And yet, Malamud Bakava Chaimer, yet we know that a Hekesh can then be, we can then take something that we learned from a Hekesh and learn from it with a Kava Chaimer. And we know that Meditonid Veda Bishmal, we learn that from what Tonid Veda Bishmal taught, which we learned in the previous Perek and referred to briefly in this Sugya, that you have the whole thing over there about the hekesh between the power coin Mashiach and the power of Yom Kippur, and then in turn we go and learn from that to the Seirim to the Seirim and Yisrafim by a Kava Chaimer. We had a hekesh and then we had a Kava Chaimer. Well then, Zeta Shava Hamalamedes, the Hekesh, Midira Papa. Well then, once we know that after the Zeta Shava, you're then able to do a Hekesh, because we had what Rapapa pointed out, that you had a Hekesh between, that you had a Zeta Shava between what was it? You had over there regarding the Toda that you have, that a shloman is able to be brought from Maisa Sheni money, which we learned from a Zeta Shava, and then in turn from that we learned through a Hekdesh that the same thing applies to an Ola. So you can do Zeta Shava and then a Hekdesh. The meaning, in other words, that a Zeta Shava is stronger than a Hekdesh. In addition to Lamed, as opposed to a Hekdesh is not strong enough to be followed by another Hekdesh. Ein Adin, Shetalamed, the Kavachomer. How much more so then that a Zeta Shava should be strong enough to teach us also with a Kavachomer?
What's the cow?
The cow is the Hekdesh.
Hekdesh is lighter.
It's lighter in the sense that you can't reuse it. You can't use a Hekdesh after a Hekdesh. So okay, maybe you can call it the Chom, or fine, whatever. However you want to put it. The point is that a Hekdesh can't be followed by another Hekdesh. But you can still use a Kavachomer after a Hekdesh.
All the more so,
Zeta Shava, which can be followed by another Zeta Shava, can also be followed by a Kavachomer.
Why more so for Zeta Shava?
Because Zeta Shava, we see it's strong enough to be followed by another Zeta Shava, whereas a Hekdesh is weaker.
Right. Hekdesh, no.
But Zeta
Kavachomer, yes. Zeta Shava, yes.
Therefore, logically, Zeta Shava, Kavachomer, sure. In that sense, we should say, yeah. The problem with that is Hamichal Amanda Istray Virapapa. Okay, but that only works out according to the opinion that agrees with the Rapapa. This that we said yesterday, so I didn't really clarify this when we learned it. When Rapapa pointed out that Zeta Shava followed by a Hekdesh, so Mazutra Bredit, we said in the Gemara, Mazutra Bredit of Mari asked that how does that work? After all, that's not all in Kodshim. Maisa Jogon is Cholin. And the answer is, he said, because you don't necessarily need that everything that we're dealing with over here all has to be within Kachim. So I didn't really clarify, though, that Marzutra Breder of Mori does not have to agree with that Svara.
Huh.
He can say that, very nice, your Papa, you're saying you have a proof, but your proof is really not complete because not all three of the elements over here are within Kachim. I hold that unless all of them are within Kodshim, then these rules don't apply anyway. Then it would be like Kola Tera Kola, where you can freely mix and match
in order to say
which of these 16 rules apply and don't would only be if all of them are within Kodshim.
Right.
So he doesn't necessarily agree with the Papa Svara. And in fact, you have a number of places in Shas where the Gemara mentions this, that you have an opinion that agrees with Rapapa and an opinion that disagrees. That's based on all Gemara over here, where we see that Mazurta Breder Amari does not have to agree with that. Actually, the Tzatzemis points out another point also. He says...
He was
an Amora. But the Tzatzemis points out also there's another bit of a weakness in Rapapa's argument also. Namely, you're saying the second part of it is a Hekdesh between Toda and Shlomim, but the fact is the Toda itself is called a Shlomim. Well, Sar Zevach Toda Shlomo. So you don't even really need a Zeta Shava plus a Hekdesh. It's really just a Zeta Shava, and then that's it. So therefore, that also weakens Rapapa's proof.
There's another thing that, did you see anywhere where what we're using is Kavachomer in a meta category to prove Kavachomer in general?
We're going to get to that, right. Okay, so anyway, so if you agree with Rapapa, if you agree that his svara, that his proof is a proof, then fine, then you can say that you see that a Zeta Shava can be followed by a Hekdesh. But if you don't agree with that, Elulaman Belesla is Rapapa, my Yisraelimah, then what are you going to say? What's your proof? So no, we'll make a different Kavachomer. Ela Kavachomer. We'll make a different Kavachomer as follows. Again, Uma Hekdesh Shein Malamed Behekdesh, Imid Ravina. Again, the first half of it is the same thing. Madach a Hekdesh, which you can't learn from it using another Hekdesh, and we know that from Rava's and from Ravina's statement. Malamed b'kavachomer with a ton of Veda Bishmol. Yet it's able to be Malamed with a kavachomer as a ton of Veda Bishmol taught us. Then the second half of our kavachomer over here is going to be different. Zera Shava Hamlamedes, Zera Shava Chavarta, well then a Zera Shava, which is able to teach where we're able to follow it with another Zeta Shava, not that we're saying that we're able to follow it with a Hekdesh, like we were saying before, because not everybody agrees with that. But you see that a Zeta Shava is strong enough to be Malamed with another Zeta Shava, And we know that in the Rami Bachama. We know that from Rami Bachama's proof, and okay, even if we don't accept Rami Bachama's proof, we have Rava's proof from the Kirboyer Pirsha, I think. Ein Adin should talamid b'kava chayma. Well, then again, how much more so that a gzeira shava should be able to be malamid with a kava chayma. So we're doing a different form of the kava chayma. Instead of saying that a hekesh can't follow a hekesh, but a hekesh can follow a gzeira shava, we're not saying that because not everybody agrees to that, because you have that according to the papa, but Mazutra disagrees with that. Instead, we'll say, okay, but a gzeira shava can follow a gzeira shava, a hekesh can't follow a hekesh. Therefore, again, we see from that also that a gzeira shava is stronger, and therefore it should be able to be malamed with a kava chayma if even a hekesh, which is weaker, is able to.
Okay. Since
a Gzera
Shava can follow a Hekesh, but
a
Hekesh cannot.
No, since a
Gzera
Shava can follow another
Gzera Shava. Not the Gzera Shava.
Where the Hekesh cannot follow another Hekesh. Therefore, that shows that a Gzera Shava is stronger, and therefore, even the weaker Hekesh is able to be followed by a Kavach Chomer. How much more so the stronger, the more powerful Gzera Shava. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You didn't get to my question?
Not yet. But
maybe I'm remembering.
It's possible. Okay. The Tosfos actually points out that you do actually have other places that is about Kiddush Hagayim Draglayim, for example, that you have cases like this where you have a Kavah Chomer and then you're learning from it with a Hekesh. But Tosfos says here we're all talking, when we say Kudshim over here, we mean things that apply to the actual Kudshim itself, not Kiddush Hagayim Draglayim, which is an avodah that has to be done before you start with the actual Kudshim. So with those, none of this whole discussion would apply to that, because again, it's a b'chol atar d'chola, you can mix and match that you want. It's only within kodshim that you have these rules.
So
therefore, no proof from that, one way or the other. Okay. So that's that. So far we've gone through all the possibilities, all four possibilities of hekesh, and all four possibilities with gzeira shava. So far, what we have is, when it comes to a hekesh,
We're gonna get
back to that later. Actually, I mean, we're gonna get, we haven't finished with all of them yet, but so far, let's look at the table. So far, what we have is as follows: if you learn with a hekesh, you can't learn with another hekesh. From Rava's and Ravina's statement, you can't learn with a gzeira shava. You could learn with a kava chomer. A binyan av, we weren't sure about. If you learn with a gzeira shava, we have the papa and Mazutra disagreeing whether you can learn from it with a hekesh. You could learn from a gzeira shava and then another gzeira shava. We have Rami Bahamas and Rava's groups. You could learn from a gzeira shava and a kava chomer. Gzeira shava to binyan av, we haven't gotten to yet. Eventually, it ends up being a suffix. Actually, we have right here. We actually have it right here. I missed it. Dover alam of the gzeira shava, ma'ish ulam binyan av, keku. There's a one line over here.
They don't even discuss it
because we don't have any place. We don't have any specific place that we know of where we find an example where you have a Zeta Shava and then you're learning from it with a binyan av. So we don't know.
Okay.
Well, it means, in other words, right, we can't. If we were to find one, we wouldn't know whether we could apply it or not.
Right. What's interesting is these are things that are only from Kabbalah. Yeah. A Zeta Shava is only from Kabbalah and a binyan av is only from Kabbalah. So
it doesn't exist.
We just demonstrate. Binyan Av is more of a logical thing, actually. Binyan Av is not. Gzeira Shava, you can't do.
But just what about a hekesh? Is that
a hekesh? No, I don't think so. I think a hekesh you're able to come
do
up
you,
with.
Do you know the answers? There's many answers to why a hekesh is not included in the Gilgamesh instructions.
So what we talked about yesterday briefly, the idea that it's included in Binyan Av, kind of.
One of the answers that I thought is that it's an intuitive item and it doesn't need to be there because...
Okay, well, you could argue a Kavah Chomer is also an intuitive item. Okay.
That's true, too. The Pasuk's there to tell you this.
So far we've gone through all the four possibilities with a Hekesh and all four possibilities with a Gzeira Shava. Now let's go on to the third column of the table. Javra Lomit B'Kavah Chomer Ma'arushi Yilamit B'Hekesh. If you learn something with a Kavah Chomer, can you then turn around and learn from the second thing using a Hekesh? So, again, Kavah Chomer. Again, we're going to use a Kavah Chomer for the purpose, similar to before. We said after you learn from a Gzeira Shava, you can't learn from it with a Hekesh. We said that on the basis of Rav Yechanan thing that he said before on Abin Aleph, that we could have, that if that were allowed, we would have been able to learn suffering by the Osham, we would have been able to learn, we would have been able to learn without it having to, without having to have a direct
happen.
No, we said that when, no, we said that when you learn something, we said that when you learn something with a Gzeira Shava, you can't learn afterwards with a Hekesh. That's what we said.
Right.
We said it. So a Hekesh can't be followed by a Hekesh, and a Gzeira Shava can't be followed by a Hekesh.
But a Hekesh could,
But either one of them could be followed by a Shava. Right.
Right.
So, yeah. So, or actually, no, I mean, well, yeah, no, we said actually that it, rather, we said that a Gzeira Shava, it's Mahoz, whether it can be followed by a Hekesh, but no, what we're saying over here, Ma Gzeira Shava She'enim Alamed She'enim Alamed Behekesha, sorry, it actually doesn't mean that it's followed by a Hekesh, it means it's preceded by a Hekesh. Mina, as Rashi says, Dilemma Mina Hekesh, and in fact, Shitim Okubetis changes the word Behekesha to She'enim Alamed Mina Hekesh in order to clarify. So a Gzeira Shava can't be learned from a Hekesh, we established that already. A Hekesh can't be followed by a Gzeira Shava.
No.
Doesn't work, right. Midir Rabbi Yechanan, and we know that because of Rabbi Yechanan's statement. Yet, Malamed Behekesh Midir Rabbi, yet we said that a Gzeira Shava is able to then be followed by a Hekesh. Again, we know that from Rabbi's statement. Wait, Kavachoyma, Alamed Behekesh, how much more so if you're learning something originally from a Hekesh, Midir Tonet, Beit Avishma, Kavachoyma, Alamed Behekesh, well then a Kavachoyma, which is able to be learned on the basis of a Hekesh, and we know that again, Midir Tonet, Beit Avishma, Ain't a din, she lamed the hekesh. How much more so it should be, it should be that a kavachomer should be able to be followed by a hekesh. Because a kavachomer, again, is stronger, because we see that a kavachomer is able to be followed, we see that a hekesh is able to be followed by a kavachomer. So how much more so then that a kavachomer should be able to be followed by, that a kavachomer should be able to be followed by a hekesh. So we see that the kavachomer is stronger. Again, the question is, again, that only works according to the opinion who agrees with the Papa. El Alamanda less led to the Papa, but according to the opinion that disagrees with the Papa, again, Mazutra, Ma'ikalamanda, then what are you going to say? What kind of proof do you have there? And the answer is, again, according to him, Teku, according to him, you're right, you have no way of resolving it, and according to, and therefore it comes out again that you wind up according to that way of looking at it with a Machloitis. Whether when you learn something from a Kavachomer, can you learn with a Hekesh? Rav Papa will say yes, and Rav Zutra will say no.
Okay. And it's based on this.
And it's based on, well,
to
say it's the same machloket. It's the same machloket as you had over here.
Can you build your kavachomer?
Can you build your kavachomer, right.
From the starting point of the machloket,
right.
You know, so.
Okay. Yeah.
Because according to
Rav Zutra, according to Rav Zutra, it wouldn't work, right.
Like your Excel sheet. If this one is undefined,
Okay, how about if you learn something with a kavachomer, can you then turn around and learn something from the second item using a gzeira shava?
Yes, of course.
Well, again, kavachomer. Kavachomer. Uma gzeira shava she'en elamede behekesha midir Rabbi Yechanan. Madach a gzeira shava which is not able to follow a hekesh, and we said that from what Rabbi Yechanan said, a hekesh can't be followed by a gzeira shava, otherwise you could have learned the oil that way. The Osham that way. Malamed the Gzeira Shava Midir Rami Bachama. Yet we said one Gzeira Shava can be followed by another one. We had Rami Bachama's proof and we had Rava's proof. Kavachomer, Halamed the Hekesh. Well, but a Kavachomer, which can be learned after a Hekesh. And we know that Midir Tomid, Rei Rabbi Shmuel, because of what Rabbi Shmuel said about the various parim and serim. Ain't a din, just Malamed the Gzeira Shava. How much more so that a Kavachomer should be able to then be the source for a Gzeira Shava? So that works.
Because it's stronger.
Because it's stronger, right. So that works.
No, but I don't understand how that would work.
It would mean you'd learn din number two from din number one by a kavachomer that a certain din applies to din number two. Then you would say from that one to number three.
Okay.
What about Dovra alamed the kavachomer, Maushi alamed the kavachomer? What about if you learn something with a kavachomer, can you turn around and learn something else from the second thing with a kavachomer?
Yes.
Now, a number of the achrayim, before we get into the Gemara about it, which is then going to deal with your question, how we're using kavachomers in these things, a number of the achrayim deal with the question, and it's interesting that it was first only brought up by the achrayim, implying, I guess, that the achrayim didn't see it as a problem, but they ask the question, as Tzon Kodshin mentions this, and whatever. Anyway, the question is, if you're saying you're going to learn from A to B and then by a kavachomer and then from B to C with a kavachomer, why are you even asking a question? Just learn straight from A to C and have done with it. Why even ask? So a number of the achronim deal with different scenarios where such things are possible. One of the more straightforward ones is given, I think, by the Chos Nosan. He says, very simple. We had, for example, the other day, We had the whole issue where we said that we learn that the chassas is shechted in the north. We learn from the fact that the Torah compares it to the Olam, and Kaimash to Shaka the Olam to Shaka the chassas. And we use the Kavachomer there, just not a Kavachomer as in the sense that an Olam is stronger than a chassas in its dinim, but just a Kavachomer of the type that since we're learning from the Olam to the chassas, the Olam is the Iker, the chassas is the Tophel, and obviously the Iker has to be stronger than the Tophel. So now, if we were to take and learn from the chassas some other carbon, it wouldn't necessarily be the kind of thing that you could learn directly from the Orla to the other thing, because the fact is you're not learning directly from the Orla to the other thing. They're not, you don't think you could argue the other carbon maybe has humerus over the Orla or whatever. But you have two different kinds of Kavachomers, in other words, where it's not transferable from one to the other. You have a Kavachomer here. Exactly. That would be an example where you can't, right. You wouldn't be able to.
From beginning to the end.
Right, exactly. Right. That's the point. Because there are two different types of Kavachomer. Right.
If you try to go from beginning to end, you would.
And the reverse is also true.
Yeah.
That you cannot necessarily learn from the beginning. What you learn from the beginning to the end, you cannot necessarily learn from the beginning to something else. And then.
Well, that's what we have to figure out. Are you able to do that? Is that a valid method within Kutchin to be able to learn from the Ola to the Chassas, let's say, and then from the Chassas to something else? Okay. So Java along the Kavachomer, Marsha along the Kavachomer. So again, let's use a Kavachomer to answer the question itself. And then Madach is a Shava which cannot follow a Hekesh, and we know that because of Rabbi Yisman. Malabed b'Kavachomer Kedam Moron. We just established on the basis of a previous Zera Shava, on the basis of a previous Kavachomer, that a Zera Shava can follow a Kavachomer. Well then, Kavachomer Alamed Mehekesh, a Kavachomer which is able to follow a Hekesh, Midtana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, Ein Adinshi Alamed b'Kavachomer. Well, and the Gemara continues, V'zero Kavachomer Ben Kavachomer. So thus you have a Kavachomer which is derived from another Kavachomer. This second Kavachomer depends on something which itself we learn for the Kavachomer. Okay, well, so the question is, what do you mean Ben Benayishal Kavachomer? What do you mean that it's only like the second level Kavachomer? It's actually really a third level Kavachomer. Because we're going over here, we're doing over here like this. We learned from the fact from we had the fact that the Torah has a middle of Kavachomer. Then from that we learned the first Kavachomer. Now we're trying to learn a second Kavachomer. So Rashi says maybe we can't go that far. Maybe we can't learn a chain of three Kavachomer. Tosfos says that's not what it means. The Tosfos says, what would be the problem? If Kavachomer is a valid method and it works and two of them work by Kodshim, why shouldn't three of them work? No,
that's
what Tosfos argues. If you're going to say that you're able to learn a Kavachomer, why shouldn't you be able to learn a Kavachomer, Ben Benoish or Kavachomer?
That's true in group theory.
Well, okay, so one second. Yeah. Okay, no. Hold on. So that's how Rashi learns that the Gemara's problem is that there's a limit how far you can do with Kavachomer. Tosfos says that's not the issue. The issue rather is that it's called begging the question. So it's one of those things in logic, in formal logic or whatever it is, you're trying to prove something, you're trying to prove about using a Kavachomer on top of a Kavachomer, and your proof itself is a Kavachomer on top of a Kavachomer. Yeah, so you can't do that. It's circular logic, right? You're begging the question. You can't do that. Okay, so now, El a Kavachomer. No, we'll learn the Kavachomer differently. That doesn't require us to have a chain of three Kavachomers. Uma hekesh she'en a woman behekesh. Madach, one hekesh can't then teach us another hekesh. And we know that means imidurabina. And yet, but the Hekesh is able to be followed by a Kavachomer. We know that from Tanad Veda Vishmol. So then, Kavachomer, Alam and the Hekesh means the Tanad Veda Vishmol. Well, the Kavachomer itself, which is reversing that same previous statement, it's able to learn from a Hekesh. In other words, what we're going to say is, before we were trying to make the Kavachomer on the basis of the fact that the Nalamed is stronger, that the one we're learning from is stronger. You were saying that, no, you see, the lomid, the one you're learning, the second midah that you're using is stronger. A kavachomer is stronger than a hekesh in that a kavachomer can follow a hekesh, whereas a hekesh cannot follow a hekesh. So a hekesh can't be a lomid from another hekesh, but a kavachomer is able to. Well then, ain't a din, she's a lama b'kalachomer. How much more so then that it should be strong enough to be able to be to follow a previous kalachomer from a kalachomer to a kalachomer.
Who said?
That's what we're arguing. We're saying if a kalachomer is stronger than a hekesh as far as the lamed side of things, that we're saying a hekesh can't be the lamed from another hekesh, but a kalachomer can be a lamed from a hekesh. Therefore, that shows that a kalachomer is stronger. Therefore, a kalachomer is strong enough to be able to learn, to be that the lamed and the melamed, that both halves of the equation should be a kalachomer.
A hekesh is stronger than a kalachomer.
No, you're saying a hekesh is weaker than a kalachomer. You're saying a hekesh.
You can derive
a kalachomer from a hekesh, but you can't derive a hekesh from a hekesh. No,
but you can derive a kalachomer.
The second one is the subject of the study.
Yeah. You can derive a kalachomer from a hekesh.
Yes, that shows that a kalachomer is stronger than a hekesh. It shows where you couldn't put in a hekesh over there in the second one, you could put in the second place, you could put in a kalachomer. That shows that a kalachomer is stronger.
The second one in the order is the one that is stronger.
It doesn't mean that it's stronger in reverse.
No, but therefore, it means that it's strong enough, therefore, to if it can follow even something weak like a hekesh, then it can certainly follow something which it has its own strength, a kalachomer. The Zohar kalachomer, Ben kalachomer, there you have a two-level kalachomer, and that kind of thing works. According to Rashi, that's not a long enough chain to be a problem, and according to Tosfos, you're not using a kalachomer of a kalachomer itself to prove the point.
But according to Rashi, three
wouldn't work, and according to Tosfos, three in principle would work as long as you're not using the, as long as you're not trying to
do one subject. For three wouldn't work, and for two it would.
Because Rashi learns that it's one thing to say a kavachomer on top of a kavachomer, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But once you have a kavachomer on a kavachomer on a kavachomer, maybe you can't. Not necessarily you can, but maybe you can. The Dilma, Rashi says, maybe. Pull a high, less long a melech. Maybe there's a limit how far you can go.
Why?
Because ultimately, if you're going to do that, then maybe you can.
Be a reason.
Okay, maybe the reason
is. Because you're saying that
one second.
Now you're saying
it's hold on. Wait. Guys.
Yeah.
Because we don't have any reason to say, we don't have any proof to say that it should work, a three-level kalachomer like that. You don't have an example, when it comes to kalachim anyway, where you find such a thing working, therefore we can argue maybe it doesn't work. If you're trying to say that the only reason you can make a kalachomer work, a kalachomer following a kalachomer, and that itself actually requires three levels of kalachomer, maybe it wouldn't work. Maybe only we're talking throughout the studia where you have two levels of hekesh and hekesh, hekesh and zereshava, et cetera. You never have. We're talking about three levels. So therefore, we don't have any reason to say that three levels should work.
I understand that. We don't have any reason. For two levels.
Two levels, we're saying. We're going to use a kalachomer. However, the problem is that kalachomer, it amounts to a three-level kalachomer. And therefore, according to Rashi, we don't have any reason to say a three-level kalachomer should work. And if the three-level kalachomer doesn't work, then you're not going to be able to prove the two-level one either, because that requires that third level. Okay, according to Tosfos, that's not the issue. There's no problem doing any length of chain of Zeta Shavas, but you can't be begging the question. You can't be doing circular logic, which we would. So now that we redid that kalachomer differently, now we're able to have, now it's a two-level kalachomer. It's short enough that Rashi won't have a problem with it. There's no circular logic with it, so Tosfos won't have a problem with it, and we're good. So yes, one kalachomer, we can learn from it another kalachomer. Okay. Next, Dabra Lamed B'Kalachomer, Ma'oshi Lamed B'Binyanav. If you learn something with a kalachomer, can you, here's the fourth one of kalachomer, can you turn around and learn from it with a binyanav? Amar Rav Yirmiyah Toshma. So Rav Yirmiyah says, come, I'll bring you a proof as follows. We learn later on in Amos Sefer. Now, you have a din. The Torah tells us that a kosher bird that was killed not with shchita and therefore was not allowed to be eaten, it's nevela, if a person eats it, they become tame the moment they swallow it.
A kosher bird
that was not shechted properly,
right.
If a person eats it, if a person swallows it,
it's an nevela.
Then it's an nevela. And that's the thing. It's a nevela that cannot be, it's a nevela that cannot, is not metame by touching it or by handling it. The only way of becoming tame through it is by swallowing it. During the moment a person is swallowing it, he becomes tame. And then if he's touching anything during that time, actually I think even if he's touching anything during that time, he's not metame. I don't remember about that. But whatever, afterwards he's not metame his clothes or anything. No, it is. Tumah b'chiburim. Yeah, he does have to dip his clothes in a mikvah because anything that he was touching at the time that he swallowed becomes tumah as well, but afterwards not. Anyway, the point is, so molach v'nimtzis tefer. So suppose now the kohen did melicha on a chatas or on a chatas oif or oil oif, as it's supposed to be done, v'nimtzis tefer, but then the bird turned out to be tref. So Rav Meir says, nevertheless, the body of this dead bird will not be metamei a person when he swallows it, because he says that the melika of it, even though it turned out to be trace, the melika of it is enough to take it away from what?
Would swallow a bird if it's
human. What do you mean? Hold on. First of all, if you're talking about a chatas oif, the kohen have a mitzvah to eat it. So if it hadn't been trace. We said before, we learned the other day, that the blood of the bird is squeezed onto the mizbeach, and other than that, the rest of it is eaten by the kohen. Nothing else of it. Obviously, they cook it, but the point is, and that's not the point. Cooking it doesn't make it any less than available. But anyway, the point is that...
That would be great if you could cook the trace out of your food. Just cook it for 24 hours, it won't be traced anymore.
Yeah, okay. But the point is, yes, you do have where an oif tahor that was killed by Malika as a chatas oif is supposed to be eaten by the Kohanim, but here you have it. But besides that also, you can have, aside from that, you can have a regular person, for whatever reason, might want to eat a dead bird. Why not? It's available. He'll eat it. Again, you're thinking of it as like he's swallowing it whole. It doesn't have to be that he's swallowing it whole, as long as he eats kazayas of it. Anyway, so... Rav Meir in the time of the base of the Rav Meir says the fact that this bird had melika done to it is enough to make it that now it doesn't have the tumas nevela. Rav Yehuda in the time of the base of the year, Rav Yehuda says it does. Actually, Rashi points out actually, when we're going to have later on a third opinion of Rav Yosi. There's a three-way machlokes over here. Rav Meir would hold that if you shecht a chulin bird or you do melika to a kodshim bird, that's enough to make it no longer nevela. Rav Yehuda says either way not. Rav Yehuda says either way not, and Rav Yosi says that shchita is mekaher but not melika. So continues the Mishnah or the Braisa. Amar Rav Meir kavachomer. So Rav Meir says, I'm going to make kavachomer to show that it shouldn't be matami. Uman nilof behemah shematami magor masa. Madach the nevela of an animal, which is a stronger degree of tumah, because it makes a person tumah if he touches it or if he carries it. And yet shchitasim etaheres shirifasim etumasa. Yet shechting the animal, even though the animal turned out to be trace, is still enough to make it that it doesn't have too much nevela. If a person were to eat. Nothing. If a person were to touch or carry a kezias of this dead animal, he wouldn't become tamei. Tumas nevela goes away from it. It's not a nevela. That's the point. Because
it was a
nevela. No, hold on. In the case of an animal, Rav Meir is saying like this. If you shecht an animal and it turns out to be trei, are you allowed to eat it? Obviously not. It's trei. We'll boss about the trei for later.
Right.
However, it's not matamei tumas nevela anymore. The fact that you shechted it is enough to take away that tumas nevela. Therefore, if you touch or carry part of that animal, you won't become tame.
It stays trace, but not tame,
right. Well then, nevela oif, she'en matama mago mata, the nevela of a bird, which is a weaker degree of tumah, because not matama you person when he touches or carries it, only when he eats it, einajin shekesh shchitasim etaheres shefasim etumasa. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer then that shchita should be able to be mataharet from being in the sense that now, even though it's trace, it won't be matame, Tumas Nevela. And he continues like this. Now, so that's the Kavachoma. Now we're learning a binyan out from that. Ma matzino v'shritosa shemachshar tabachila mataheras tereifasa matumasa. So now let's consider. With an animal, what is it that makes it that you're able to eat it and that takes away the tuma is shchita. Well then, af melusa. So then in the case of a bird, in the case of bird kodshim, where instead of shchita you're supposed to be doing melika, af melika shemachshar tabachila. So then melika, which is what you're supposed to do to a bird of a carbon in order to make it able to be eaten, shemachshar tabachila, that's what makes it able to be eaten by the kohenim, by the same logic that tayar shereifasa mitumasa. It should be able to be matayar, that if the bird was straight, then it's nevertheless not nevela anymore, not matayar, because shchita by an animal can. In other words, the point is, Rav Meir is saying, I'm making a binyan out. Shchita is what makes an animal able to be eaten. Melika is what makes a bird of kodshim able to be eaten. Therefore, what happens with shchita of an animal should be what happens with malika of a bird. In both cases, even though it's treif, even though it's treif and you're not allowed to eat it, nevertheless, it won't be matamet shumas nevela anymore. And so he had a kavachomer, and he had a kavachomer followed by binyanav, and this is in connection with kodshim. So you see that that works. And the Gemara finishes off quoting the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi emedayat nivlas behemah tahora. Rabbi Yossi says, "Fine, I can agree with you, Svara, but it's enough to say that after all, there is when it comes to kavachomer, you have daya to nivlas behemah tahora. Fine, but it's enough to say that the nevela of the bird should be no different than the nevela of the animal. Shchitas mitaharet of langli kotta. That shchita will be mitaharet from tumas nevela, but not melika. You want to say that it'll work by melika because melika is parallel to shchita. I don't accept that, Svala. You want to say you're learning from shchita. You want to say because melika is parallel to shchita. You want to argue melika is what's used for a bird of kodshim. Shchita is what's used for birds of colon and animals of kodshim. I don't accept that. I don't have to accept because Rameir agrees with diet. Rameir agrees
with in our parsha.
Fine. Rameir also agrees with diet. The Gemara mentions
the wine doesn't agree.
Because we're not getting into that level of detail over here because he would say it's not necessarily daya really. You're not saying that malika is any stronger than shchita. You're saying malika is parallel to shchita. It's not really. I mean, I mentioned daya, but it's not.
This is the way you do it here, and that's how you do it over
here. Yeah. So it's not really daya. But in any case, in Rabbi Kama, the Gemara points out that Rav Meir holds you don't hold a daya when it would destroy what you're going to learn with a kavah chomer. And here, if you use daya, then Rav Meir would say that
you cannot. The rule was, so far as I understood it, if it's weaker or then you cannot learn it. But if it's the same level, why shouldn't you be able to learn it?
Well, that's a binyan av. That's what we're saying over here. But that's the point. You know, it's not really daya. I mentioned daya. I shouldn't have mentioned it. It's not really relevant over here. The point is that Rav Yossi. The point is, Rav Yossi says, I accept your logic. I agree. Therefore, I disagree with Rav Yehuda that the malika doesn't help at all. That nothing can help at all with a bird. I do hold something can help with it, but what is that something? Only shchita, not malika.
On the basis of
that shchita is what you're arguing from in the case of an animal. Okay, the point is, in other words, that we see that Rav Meir is using a gzeira shava followed by a binyan av, and nobody else seems to have a problem with that. Rav Meir has a problem with the actual, Rav Yossi, rather, has a problem with the actual svara, but he doesn't disagree with the premise that you could learn that way. However, the Gemara says v'loihi, but it's not necessarily really a proper proof. Hosam, because over there the real reason is the real. So Rashi breaks up this line hosam sehavihi mishchita b'cholim ka'afian. Rashi breaks it up as follows: hosam over there, the real reason why the mayor learns what he says, he's not really learning his second part with a binyan af. He's actually learning his second part using a hekesh. So therefore, you don't have a proof. Therefore, over here, when you're talking about a kavachomer followed by vinyanav, you don't have a proof. And because really the real reason the Gemara explains later, the real reason he does mention this vinyanav, but that's not fundamentally where he's learning his din from, because after all, he does have to have an answer for Rabbi Yossi. Fundamentally, he's learning it from a hekesh. From those turtles of the hem of our eyes, that the same rules apply to animals and to birds.
Okay, fine. Let's say he is learning from just a bit.
Because in that case, he's not really learning from binyan av. He's learning really from a hekesh. So in that case, you have a kavachomer followed by a hekesh. And we said before, a kavachomer followed by a hekesh, actually, we said it's a machlokes, whether it works or not. And even if you're going to say that actually he is learning on the basis of binyan av, fine, but mishchita de cholin kaf, and ultimately he's learning from the first one in his chain is the shchita of cholin, and he said before we had the machlokas of rapapa and mazut rebrei ramari whether the rules of lamed min alamed is kodshim apply to such a thing or not, because you're fully or partially. So therefore, so it's not so clear. Therefore, so in other words, it will depend. So in other words, it'll depend on two factors. Number one, do we even have a proof from here at all? Because are we talking about a binyan av, or are we talking about the second part of the hekesh? And two, if then it's a hekesh. That's a hekesh. If you're learning it from that he's saying that shchita parallel to melitza, then it's a binyan av. So first of all, we don't even know if he's talking about a binyan av. Second of all, even if he is talking about a binyan av, but only according to the papa would that work. According to Mazutra Brezer the Mari, he said before it's machloekas. Whether he said before it wouldn't, we don't have a proof. According to him, it would be a suffix. According to him, whether he doesn't accept Rav Papa's limud that we had back on Nun Amud Aleph that we saw over there. We had a Zeta Shava followed by a Hekish because he argued over there. Fine, I agree. It's a Zeta Shava followed by a Hekish, but it's not all within Kachim. Therefore, these are all these lamed min alamed, all these 16 rules that we're dealing with are not relevant.
And how does it apply here?
Same idea over here. If you say that Rav Meir is using a kavachoyma followed by a hekish, binyan av. However, that binyan av depends on shchita of cholin, and therefore Mazutra Bezer Amari would say it's not all within kodshim. So therefore, of course, lamed min alamed.
Only within
kodshim do you have to deal with. Can you do lamed min alamed? Outside of kodshim, it's not an issue. You can always do lamed min alamed as much as you want. So therefore, no proof of pointing. Okay. Fine. Now let's go on to the fourth column. Okay, so now to summarize at a Kavachomer, from a Kavachomer to a Hekesh, from a Chlokas, a Rapapa, and Mazutra, whether you can do it or not. From a Kavachomer, can you learn with a Gzeda Shava? Yes. We proved that with a Kavachomer. From a Kavachomer, can we then use a Gzeda Shava? We said yes.
Yes.
From a Kavachomer, can we do another Kavachomer? We said yes. Both of those we learned from Kavachomers. And the last one, from a Kavachomer, can we do a Binyan Av? We're saying it's also a suffix. It depends, really. It's according to the Papa, maybe yes. If we say that Rav Meir is actually using a Binyan Av rather than a Hekish. And according to Mazutra Brezer Amari, not really, because we don't even know whether he's using a Binyan Av or not. And even if he is, it's a Binyan Av where part of it is outside of Kachin. So it's a suffix in the end. Okay. Now the fourth column. When we learn something with a binyan av, can we learn from that with any of the four midas? So the Gemara says, okay, most of them maybe we can't find an answer to. However, we can at least answer one of them as follows. We learn later on in the Masechta. Again, when we get back to later on in the Masechta, we get to the whole issue of... Im we have things that they weren't supposed to be brought on the Mizbeach in the first place, but if they were, then b'dieved you leave them up there. You don't take them down from there. So when we talk about that, we say, why is it that we say that if blood was left overnight, then nevertheless it's still kosher, and you don't sprinkle it on the Mizbeach to begin with, but if you did, then b'dieved it's kosher and you don't take it off. Why is that? Because we see that when it comes to Imurim, if they were left overnight, that also. So there you have a Binyan Av from one to the other. You have a Binyan Av between Dan and Imurim, and Lon Be Imurim Kosher, and the Imurim themselves, how do we know if they were Lon, if they were left overnight, that it's Kosher to leave them on the Mizbeach, Shari Lon Be Basa Kosher, because when it comes to the meat, it's completely Kosher, because what do you have? A Shlomim can be eaten for 2 days. So in other words, with the meat of a shlomim, there's no problem leaving it over the next day. L'chachila. So therefore, since the shlomim, other ones that can eat for 2 days. So therefore, in other words, we have a binyan av between meat and emurim, and we have a binyan av between emurim and blood. There you go, a binyan av based on a binyan av. And we can.
What can be left over 2 days?
The meat. The meat of a shlomim.
Yeah. But only shlomim?
No, also b'chor, also meiser, also...
Right, but
okay. Fine. The point still remains. That one, the point...
Only shlomim?
Shlomim is kachim kalim. Shlomim is kachim kalim, and then b'chor and meiser are also kachim kalim, and all of them are eaten for 2 days.
So in kachim, it doesn't...
Kachim, you don't have separate things. Kachim, the maximum amount you have is 1 day, is a day and a night. Fine. But the point still remains that from the Basa we're learning to the Emurim by Binyan Av. From the Emurim we're learning to the Dam also with the Binyan Av. So therefore you see that it's that it works.
It works for
Kachim. We're talking about within Kachim. Okay, continues.
Wait.
continues the Mishnah, Yose, what about, here's another example, we say over there, let's say the Emurim were taken out of the Azara, that, nevertheless, again, they're possible, they're not supposed to be the Emurim or the blood, for that matter, if they went out of the Azara, they're not supposed to be put on the Mizeach, but again, in Ololo Yerid, why is that? Because after all, we see when it comes to a bummer that things that are taken out of that area are still kosher to be offered, because by bummer you don't have the whole concept of kloyim, you don't have the whole concept of a demarcated area around it. And tome, if the blood or the emurim became tome, why we say that im olola yerid, because we find that things that are tomei are able to be brought by a bodas tibur. We say over there if the koyanim are tomei, then the koyanim is still brought. So the concept of tuma exists by karbanas tibur. What about chutzlis manei? What about if the koyanim was shechted with a thought of chutzlis manei? Why should it be im olavo yered? You don't have any exceptions to that, it's people. The reason is holo merasa l'pigula, because after all, it is important enough that the sprinkling of the blood is what makes it pigul, as we discussed previously. Therefore, in other words, to that extent, we treat the zrikas adam of a korban that became pigul as if it was a kosher korban, because that zrikas adam is what makes it now officially a korban, and therefore subject to pigul. Therefore, the emurim of it are important enough, are considered still enough of a korban that im ololo yered, that you don't take them off the mizbeach. And chutzla mekoymo, what about if the korban was shechted with a thought of chutzla mekoymo? Why should that be? The reason is ho'ogah hukash l'chutzla z'manei, because you have a hekash between that and chutzla z'manei. If chutzla z'manei, we just said that you can that you leave it on the mizbeach, you don't take it down. Well, then chutzla mekoymo should be the same thing.
Because
we have a hekash between them. What about shekiblu psulin v'zorku jaman? What about we said we have the case if possible of people. Received the blood in the Mizrach or sprinkled it. Why do we say im olu lo yodu in those cases? The reason is b'hanach psulim, the puzzle of it is still, because we're not talking about all the kinds of psulim. We're not talking about, for example, a czar or what have you. It's true, then there wouldn't be any exception. But because you have psulim who are able to do the avodah tzibur, for example, if he's tomei, therefore it works as far as olu lo yodu. Okay. So therefore, the point is, I mean, we quoted the whole Mishnah, or the whole Braisa, whatever, but the point is, we see from that that you can do a Binyan Av based on a Binyan Av. So okay, Binyan Av followed by any of the other ones, we're not sure about, but we can be sure about a Binyan Av followed by a Binyan Av. However, the question then becomes, what's the basis for your Binyan Av? You're learning something that is supposed to be done that way, because the meat is supposed to be eaten that day and the following day, l'achila, that's how a shlomim works, so it's still perfectly kosher. You're trying to learn from that the case where the blood of the emurim are possible, where if they're left over for the next day, they're possible. What kind of binyan av is that? The answer is tanam is those teretz ha'ola riba samachle. Yes, but ultimately the tana is basing himself on the fact that the pasuk says "Zois Torah Ta'ola," which is where we learn the whole concept of "Im Olu Lo Yodu." We learn from that anything that Torah Achat L'Chol Olam, that everything that goes up on the Mizbeach has anything that's suitable to go up onto the Mizbeach, it has a similar status. So therefore, in other words, so primarily we're learning from that pasuk "Zois Torah Ta'ola." The various details they mention over here, how we learn one thing and how we learn another thing based on Binyan Av, is really only an asmachta. It's not really the actual basis for the din. The actual basis for the din is those Torah Ta'ola, and then you have a couple of... Because the Tana would prefer to explain the logic behind it. But ultimately, he's learning it from Zos Torah Ta'ola, where then, okay, you have a couple of mi'utim in the psukim over there, he, ha'ola, and therefore from them we're memai various kinds of solid. So it's not really, we don't really need the Binyan Av in order to teach us that all these things in Olo Yodu, because they're automatically included in Zos Torah Ta'ola. So it's not really necessarily a case where you have a Binyan Av followed by a Binyan Av.
So therefore we don't really have a proof.
However, Tosfos deals with over here that Tosfos explains over here that nevertheless the Gemara is saying that it's not the actual proof for it, because ultimately he's learning it from the pasuk, but nevertheless Tosfos learns the proof is still a valid proof. We do after all have that the Binyan Av is Chozer Malam and the Binyan Av.
It's a proof when the Gemara says it's not.
Because the Gemara said it's not a proof because we can't say that we can't say necessarily that the Tana is learning from that.
So never, the Gemara, it's not a proof. How can Tosha say it is a proof?
Because it's not a proof as far as this particular thing. But we still can say Tosfos actually says on the basis of the previous one as far as Shchita and whatever. The fact is over there we said we left it with a suffix. But after all, we see Tosfos analyzes the Gemara over here and says these two pieces of Gemara over here. And say that that we do that ultimately the Gemara has been able to prove that you can learn from a Binyan Av and then another Binyan Av. In this particular case, we're not because in this particular case we're learning from Zeres Torah Sarva. The fact that you have a Binyan Av followed by a Binyan Av, that itself, the fact that the Tana
right.
used that kind of logic is the fact that the Tana used that
so
kind of logic,
logic.
Right. It shows that it does work. The Gemara concluded that in this particular case, you can say that maybe he's not learning from a Binyan Av,
right.
Plus Binyan Av, he's learning from a Pasuk, but the Gemara also didn't say that the Gemara also didn't slug up the Tana's proofs. So the fact is we do have them, therefore we can see, and it's not just over here, you have Tosfos earlier also, that you have over here also that the church says that you do have various other places Tosfos takes it as a given later. But later on we see that a Binyan Av can be learned from a Binyan Av. In this particular case, you have a pasuk for it, but the concept that you can learn a Binyan Av from a Binyan Av, according to Tosfos, still remains valid. According to everybody, in this case, the Tana is actually learning from a pasuk rather than with a chain of Binyan Av.
If we need a pasuk here, why are we saying that elsewhere we don't need it? And if we don't need the pasuk...
Hold on. We're not saying that we don't need it. We're saying the pasuk... No. Tosfos is saying that the Tana is learning this particular din. The fact that we know which psulim in Olu Lo Yerdu versus in Olu Yerdu, we learn that from the pasuk Zos Torah Sa'ova.
Right.
However, he is also within that he's going and using the Binyan Av, plus a Binyan Av, in order to explain the reasons why should it be that certain psulim are in Olu Yerdu and in Olu Lo Yerdu. Therefore, we see that he is doing that. He's learning a Binyan Av from a Binyan Av in order to explain this that we're learning from the pasuk, and therefore we see that a Binyan Av plus a Binyan Av is valid.
It's valid based on the
fact that we have a Binyan Av plus a Binyan Av. And it's supported by what it says in the pasuk.
Either you take it from the pasuk, or you say it's valid because we use it as an example here.
From the pasuk itself, we learn the concept of an olu lo yerdu. From the binyan abs, we're learning the details within that. What is it in olu lo yerdu, and what is it in olu yerdu? So therefore, we see from that, and Tosfos points out that actually the Gemara had asked that how can you learn davar shaloi b'hachsherim and davar shabhachsherim? How can you learn something with meat after all is supposed to be done that way, whereas they would have been not? And Tosfos says, nevertheless, you can see that nevertheless, the Tana holds that you can do that. So in other words, the Tana holds, but therefore, okay, but the Gemara asks the question, but the answer is nevertheless the Tana saying, look, you want to learn the Tosfos Mifnei Ma'omer, and we've got to go daven, but we can learn the Tosfos Mifnei Ma'omer briefly. Mifnei Ma'omer Lon B'Dom Hosher, Tema. The Gemara asks, the Tosfos asks, if you die from a Hafa, do Binyan Av close your Malama Binyan Av? Where do you see from here that a Binyan Av can then be a source for another Binyan Av? Gilma Lon Ha'dom Achashkiyat La'achashkiyat Achama, Yalech Milon De'Emurim. Maybe what you're doing is, blood becomes possible after Shkiyat. Maybe you're learning that from the Emurim. Where the light silver shkia sachama ala ba'omer hashachar, a murim don't become possible at shkia; they only become possible the next morning if they were left open the day all night, as we learned earlier in our mitzvah. But how do yalef one a murim and respond ba'omer hashachar deem ala la'yerdim ulan baster? Then you're saying a murim in turn, which are only become possible by omer hashachar, we're learning from lan baster. In other words, we're not really learning
from the custom.
We're learning, in other words, like this. blood, we're learning from, it becomes possible by Shkia, but nevertheless we're saying we're learning it from Emurim, which don't become possible by Shkia. And Emurim, which become possible by Alois HaShachar, we're learning from meat, which does not become possible by Alois HaShachar.
How is that possible?
What do you mean, how is that possible?
How can you learn?
You're saying over here, in the Gemara, you're saying over here, you're learning a binyan av, and then you're learning a binyan av. But maybe what it means is, you're learning that the blood during the night will still be kosher, because the emurim are still kosher at that point. The emurim only become possible the next morning. And the emurim, where we're learning from, that after Elijah Shachar, where ordinarily they would be possible, how do we know him all the way at that point? Because the meat is still kosher. The boster, even though it's true with Emurim, it's obvious that we're learning the case where it's not kosher, namely after Alois HaShachar, we're learning from the case of meat, which is a hachila kosher after Alois HaShachar, dam hamaser odif, but blood, which is still able to be master of the carbon, namely by day, it's still odd, it's still preferable. We're actually not learning that the case where it's possible, we're learning from the case where it's kosher. Otherwise, we could have learned directly from dam to basa. The fact that we have to go through a murim shows that we're actually learning. We're trying to learn dam during the period when it's still kosher from a murim, and then we're trying to learn a murim from Boster. So what we're saying is, in other words, that the point is we see from the Tosfos that we do accept the idea that the Tana is learning a binyan av from a binyan av.
Right.
He is ultimately learning dam from Emurim and Emurim from Basel. So we don't have a problem with that. What we said is, we asked, how can you learn Dover Shalai Be'ach Sherim and Dover Shabach Sherim? The answer is that the answer is basically that within dam itself we're not, but within dam itself we're not. Otherwise we could have just learned dam directly from Basel where it's possible the next day.
Right.
But we're learning dam from, ultimately though, the logic still applies. We are learning dam from a murim.
Right.
We are learning a murim after the dam became possible during the night. The emurim we're learning from the boster when the boster is also still kosher. So therefore, the Gemara's question, how can you learn Dava Shalai Be'ach Shredi, the answer is we're not.
Because we're learning from the time when it was
kosher
to kosher.
Right.
And non-kosher to non-kosher.
Pretty much. Yeah. So in other words, you see from this Tosfos and also from other Tosfos in that they accept that the Gemara is accepting that the binyan av from binyan av is a valid method of learning. In this particular case, ultimately, you could say that all of this is really only an asmach, because fundamentally you learn it from the pasuk. But nevertheless, the fact that we're using this kind of logic is valid, and therefore that shows that it can work. Whereas according to all the other Mekorshim, according to many of the other Rishonim, no, the Gemara has said, the Gemara has given a question which the Tana is not giving an answer to, and the answer is, you're right, it's really only a smasa, it's not really a strong Gemara, and therefore it would be that it's a stop, it's just like all the other ones. So the bottom line is, to learn from Binyan Av with any of the other three things, the first three is definitely a stop, the Gemara didn't even try to find proofs that if you learn from Binyan Av, you can learn from that with a Hekish or a Zer Shavu or a Kalafiner. We left them all up in the air. As far as binyan av, according to many of the Rishonim, you have all sorts of stuff. But according to Tosfos, the answer is you can.
So basically, almost all the cases of binyan av, you cannot learn.
Right. So if you learn something with binyan av, three out of the four cases, you can't be sure that you can learn. And even the fourth one, it's a machlokes Rishonim whether you can or not.